Just the injury update with Justin. You know, he won't practice today. I don't have any other further updates in terms of what I said earlier on Monday. Again, it still comes down to the grip strength, where he is later in the week, and we'll see. Right now he's working with the trainers, and that's progressing well, but we'll see where it is. We still think he's doubtful for this week. Tyson, will be the starter if that is the case. And we're certainly excited about him working forward and with the offense today, and we'll see where it goes. Got a big practice ahead of us today on first and second down, so we'll see where it is. Davis, we're not practicing today either. We'll see where he is. High ankle sprain, not likely to play this week, of course, and it'll be week to week from there. And then Johnson, 23, was still in our concussion protocol. I just found that out this morning. So he's got to work through that, and we'll see where he is later in the week. We do expect to get Homer back this week, which is good. And the full injury report will be out after practice. Like I said, offensively, we're preparing this week for Bajent to be the starter, and we'll work through that. And again, like I said, we're excited about that. And then defensively, we're looking at building some momentum here based on the last few performances. It's good to have our guys back, in the secondary. Getting some continuity there, so we're looking forward to getting after that today and this week. And then special teams, I think have been doing a good job, with being solid in their performances. Certainly, Cairo's done a nice job with the kicking, and looking forward to continuing that as we go. Relative to the offensive line combinations, the questions on that, I'm not going to answer the combinations there right now because we're working through those things right now, and we certainly like. By force many times to have those different combinations because of training camp and various injuries that we've had, of course, during the course of the year. So that, of course, gives us some flexibility to put guys inside guard, center guard, and also at the tackle position. But again, that's where it is. We're going to finalize that later in the week, of course. With that, I'll open up to questions.
Just to clarify with Justin, is surgery something that's still on the table or being discussed if the grip strength doesn't
improve? Yeah, I believe we'll have some clarity later in the week, hopefully. But we'll see where it is later in the week. But again, nothing's off the table. Nothing is on the table right now. We still got to see where it is.
Was it the base of his thumb that was dislocated or the tip? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about specifics of that. Again, it's coming down to grip strength. He's working better. The swelling has gone down some, which is good. So we'll see where it is.
Since the swelling has gone down, could this eventually, best case scenario, be a situation that the trainers would be able to tape it and he'd be able to play through it that way?
Yeah, that's where it is, right? Other people that have had this injury, it's gone that way, where they've taped it and they went through it and they've played. It's been a week-to-week thing, and then all the way to having surgery and then being out. So it's we don't know where it is yet. We'll figure it out on later in the week.
What do you gain by waiting until the end of the week to make a decision?
Just more the grip strength, see where he is, functionality, see where he is. That's really what we gain.
So there is some hope he could play Sunday if you're not ruling it out now?
Like I said, we don't know. We don't know. If you say hope, there's, certainly we're optimistic where it is, but again, we don't know. We don't have the answers yet. We'll know later in the week.
The differences between Tyson and Justin as quarterbacks, if Tyson does play, does that allow you to do anything differently on offense?
Well, you play to the strengths of the quarterback, right? So certainly some of it will look different. It'll look different for sure just because of the person. You always got to play to the strength of who's got the ball in their hands at quarterback, and we're certainly going to do that.
Matt, you guys have talked a lot this season about pass protection issues. How do you prepare Tyson to navigate that part of it?
Yeah, the big one, this one, is Max, right? He's the big guy that's obviously has a lot of havoc to the offense, and he's a all-pro player and continues to play that way. That's the big thing, right? So we got to have a plan for him. Their pressure package is good too, but you got to have a plan. We got to do a good job of executing that plan, not only during the week, but also tactically during the game. That's an important part of being having tactics. So it's important we do that.
But how do you coach Tyson to keep his fundamentals, follow the reads that you guys want him to follow, knowing that there's going to be a lot of backpedaling and scrambling going on?
I would just say that we, obviously operate the offense, so whatever the rules are for that particular play, if we're doing some different things for their best pass rusher, you know, we're getting the ball out quick. You know, we just got to operate the offense.
Are the different combinations on the offensive line? I know you said you weren't going to talk about them, but are they the meaning for changes or anything? Is that performance based, or is that who fits best with Tyson, or how are you approaching the offense?
Yeah, I would say that's, you know, I would say both. That's every week, right? You know, so, you know, this is a week to week thing. You know, we got to make sure we're putting the best players, you know, in position, and, you know, performance is a part of that, of course, you know, and that not only during the last game, but also during the week.
Matt, you talked about the defensive momentum. When you look at the performance that you guys had Sunday against the Vikings, third down, and the way you performed in the second half, what struck you most about what created some of that?
Yeah, I would just say the guys played with good energy. You know, the guys knew what to do. They played fast, played with good fundamentals. You know, I really like the fundamentals and the detail of how they operated in a lot of different ways in terms of, like, their space. You know, the space tackling was much better. I thought the vision and break, you know, underneath throws was really good. And that's stuff we worked on, you know. And then, you know, the coaches that I've been around always said you get what you emphasize. You know, we emphasized that a lot last week. You know, I certainly think continuity, getting other players back, I think was helpful too. You know, I think it's all encompassing.
From a practical standpoint, what do you guys gain by adding quarterback? What does he get to do during the week?
Well, he's on practice squad, so he gets to help us, you know, on the look squad, which is great this week. You know, again, we're not sure what quarterback we're playing yet, but we'll see where that is. But just the practice squad.
How do you approach that? Three different guys could play for the Raiders.
Very similar. They're very similar types. It's not like it's, you know, they're this end of the spectrum, that end of the spectrum. So it's not that big of a difference.
May, you referred to different offensive line combinations helping your depth, you know, making more guys play more positions. But you've used 30 of them in your 23 games as head coach. I mean, that's part of the problem, isn't it? I mean, isn't that something that has to be fixed continuity-wise for you guys to really develop this offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point, Mark. But, you know, a lot of times you're forced into those issues with injuries. You know, so we've had a lot of injuries in that. We've had a lot of different combinations. You know, when we first got here, we're trying to figure out the best combinations, you know. And then this year during training camp, we had a lot of injuries. You know, so I think we're forced into that this year a little bit. But, again, we do the best we can.
For Bacon, it's obviously tough stepping in after not taking any, you know, meaningful reps during the week. How do you anticipate benefiting from spending this entire week, or at least a month?
Yeah, just time on task, right? The reps, you know. And again, he's been a pro, you know, the entire time. I think he's been really good in the meetings, good into you know, paying attention during walkthroughs. And again, you don't get a bunch of reps as a backup quarterback. And I thought he did a really nice job of coming in there, settling in once he did settle in the last game. And this is only going to be beneficial to him, you know, to get, you know, all these reps this week. And again, I'm excited to see where he is. I know the guys have a lot of confidence in him. He's a very confident guy. Again, he's got good arm talent. He's got good poise and, you know, pocket presence. And we're excited to see where it goes.
What can you learn about a young quarterback going through those first team reps for the first time?
Just what we saw, what we've seen. He's going to have great command. He's going to have those things in terms of poise. You know, and he's able to chunk information, like I said earlier in the week. And, you know, how has he processed this information that he's got now on Wednesday? You know, we got first and second down runs, first and second down passes, and, you know, everything that comes along with that, with, you know, changing protections and those types of things. And we'll see where he operates today.
Now, with Cody White here and the inconsistent snaps on Sunday, has that been an issue at all throughout practice, or is that just kind of showing up on game?
It's been a little bit, you know, during practice, some, but again, that's always an issue, you know, when you work through and change positions. You know, I think that when you have that, but again, it's not been like it's been glaring. You know, there's been some of it, but again, we've corrected it and made those adjustments. And again, it's got to be better than what it was on Sunday.
As an organization, have there been instances you guys looked at it of other undrafted free agent quarterbacks being asked to play as rookies? Is there anything you can lean on from kind of what's happened in the past that you can apply to help you prepare him?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of guys, you know, that have done, you know, came in and played, and, you know, certainly what San Francisco went through last year with their quarterback situation. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, optimism out there. You know, there's a lot of, you know, he has a talent. You know, he's got the mind. He's got the mobility. You know, so we'll see where it goes.
Matt, with Eddie, is this a pain tolerance thing with his foot, or was there a setback from that injury on Sunday?
Yeah, we're going to see where it is. You know, he's going to do individual and potentially do a little bit more today. You know, we'll see how it goes. Again, it just flared up on him. You know, so we'll see where it is today and then going through the week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
That was Matt Eberflus, head coach of the Chicago Bears. Pat the Designer here, joined by Jason McKee. I mean, listen, another week of coach speak. We find out basically nothing about Justin Fields' injury there. We find out pretty much absolutely nothing about Eddie Jackson. It's all about pain tolerance, except, you know, it's not when you're a football player. You know, you're not sitting here talking about pain tolerance if something's not in the right place. You know what I mean? You're not sitting here having the conversation about pain tolerance if there's some ligament damage there. So I don't know. They already getting at you, but they saw you. They saw you. They saw you, J-Mac. They said you in the witness protection program.
It was dark, man. I look like the same complexion as Alex Brown, man, my former teammate.
Oh, dang. Oh. Yeah.
Alex is dark, man. We used to say, how's your last name Brown? And you're so dark, man. Alex Black.
Alex Black is crazy. J-Mac, I mean, did you hear anything from Matt Eberflus that leaves you feeling better about the situation with Justin Fields? I mean, he didn't say much, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a day-to-day injury, week to week. We don't know. They're not going to release any details on injuries. We've known that since this regime has taken over.
Yeah,
and that's how it normally is in the NFL. I mean, the main thing is that I'm surprised about it. He did say he's doubtful. You know, normally he wouldn't even gave us that little tidbit. So, you know, I think we can expect to see, obviously, Tyson Bagent. And I'm excited to see, you know, what this guy can do, right, with the amount of reps that he's going to get in practice for the first time. And actually, you know, the type of menu he'll get in terms of play calling. You know, are they going to really tailor the play calls and, you know, everything geared toward his strengths and what he likes within this offense? So I think that's going to be huge for him to get a full week of preparation and a full amount of reps, because he hasn't had that. Even through training camp, the backups, they don't get a lot of reps. Preseason, you don't get a lot of reps. And obviously this past game when he was inserted after Justin went down with injury, he didn't get a lot of reps either. So the backup, you know, they don't get that same ratio of reps that the first team does. So excited to see what he can do with the full amount of reps within this offense.
Yeah, I mean, and we want to hear from you guys, the fans, as well. Call into the show, 312-332-3776. The phone lines are open. We are here to console you because we're just as upset as you guys are about what we hear, or lack of what we hear, from our head coaching staff. And, I mean, I think here's the interesting part when you look at Tyson Bagent coming in. The biggest question that I have is, okay, are you going to have that O-line play ready to go? We heard Flus talk with Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 6 on Monday, basically. And he said, you know, the center is set in our protection every time we go out there. The second you took Cody Whitehair out of the game, all of a sudden the protection was better. The blocking scheme started to work. We have a drive that goes forward down the field. It just concerns me that it took him that long to make that adjustment as a head coach. And then on the flip side of that, are you going to, like you said, make things easy? Who did he continue to throw to when he was out there? Going to Tyler Scott. Why? He's got the reps in with Tyler Scott. This is the week of any week, if you're going to make a switch here at center, that could be a long-term switch possibly, where you put in Doug Kramer. Why? Who the heck's Tyler, or who is Tyson going to be taking most of his snaps from more times than not? Doug Kramer, probably, and he's at least a consistent center. All he does is play center. He snaps the football. Where do you think the fix is on this offensive line? Because that's probably the worst, as crazy as it is to say, that's probably the worst we've seen the line play, because you had bigs mismatching with smalls. You had Deontay Foreman trying to block Danielle Hunter coming through on that sack that eventually takes out Justin Fields. How do you fix this offensive line right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's just communication and obviously understanding what your responsibility is within the protection. If you look at what Minnesota did, and we've known that coming into this game, obviously bring a lot of pressure, but at the same time, they run a lot of stunts with that defensive line, right? Especially with Danielle Hunter, they're trying to find ways to scheme him open, to get him on a one-on-one to where he can beat that matchup and get to the quarterback. And we saw that over and over again, you know, last Sunday, you know, trying to find ways to generate pressure on a quarterback. And if your offensive line – it doesn't have the communication and not on the same page, they can't pass things off and be on the right guys in terms of protection. And the same thing with the running backs. You know, Darrington Evans, yes, he was here, but it's a whole new protection scheme for him Deonte Foreman, even though he's a solid runner in between the tackles, but the knock on him has been in pass protection. So we saw that as well, some confusion there. But here's the thing, right? You talk about bringing in Doug Kramer, a guy who has not played a lot of football, a guy who's been out since who knows what. So you bring him in, the snaps may be better, but at the same time, how is the continuity within the offensive line, within those guys that's been playing football? You know, how is the communication level going to be? You're still going to have, I think, those you're going to have more problems with Doug Kramer in the lineup because he just hasn't got those live reps. You know what I'm saying? Like, we understand Tevin Jenkins didn't get a lot of live reps, but we saw him in the Commanders games come out and play well. I don't think Doug Kramer is that type caliber of player as Tevin Jenkins. You know what I mean? Tevin Jenkins brings about a physicality that a lot of players don't have. And that physicality isn't equal to, you know, overcome a lot of things that you may face out there on that field. So, you know, I think we're going to see, honestly, I think we're going to see Patrick back at center. You know, I don't, you know, I know Jatari Carter. I'm trying to figure it out. Jatari Carter being right guard.
Priceless. He's like,
Man. It's all bad. But Jatari Carter will be at right guard, and Nate Davis probably being out with a high ankle sprain. I think Whitehair could be at guard. You know, obviously Borum and Darnell Wright will be at right tackle. I think that's the combination we're going to see.
Hey, I think I'm not going to lie to you, though. What we've seen, there's some promising things to me from the offensive line that we've seen. And those are the younger pieces. I think, right, Cody Whitehair being in there, the protection was all thrown off. Guys didn't know where the heck to go. It was chaos, pandemonium, cats chasing dogs, all of that, right? But we saw some good reps out of Jatir Carter in that game on Sunday, right? I don't believe he allowed a single pressure in his time in there. We know what Darnell Wright can be. Tevin Jenkins, you mentioned him, an absolute mauler. We've got Larry Borum, who's kind of he's been a nice placeholder for Braxton Jones since he's been out. The biggest question has been that center position. At 1-5, when is a better time for you to take a chance than when you don't have Justin Fields out there? I guess, right, you don't want it's not to say throw Tyson Bajan out there as the sacrificial lamb, but I feel like those two have more of a rapport than with Bajant and Carter than we'll see from Patrick and I'm sorry, from Bajant and Kramer than we'll see from Patrick and Bajant, right? You know, like I just feel like you're in a no-win situation here already. If you were going to try and make that change, this would be the week to try and make it. Now, granted, right, like Max Crosby's going to kill whoever's on the other side of him. Like that's the number one thing we do know heading into this Raiders game. That Raiders team, that Raiders defense is literally Max Crosby and the rest of them. So it's not like you're in a win-win situation here no matter what, but I don't think that you're going to get a better time to get a look at this guy, very similar to the Jatir Carter experiment where the only reason we got to look at him was because Nate Davis was out.
Yeah, and knowing that Max Crosby, he should be a marked man on this defensive front. Like, that's where the game plan comes in place. That's where Getsy comes in place. It's something that has been up and down all year, mostly down in terms of the game plan and how to address, you know, deficiencies in pass protection. So you got to know where he's at times. And, you know, Coach Luce talked about game planning, you know, in protection, you know, how you're going to be able to game plan beforehand, but how you're also going to be able to game plan tactically within the game. So that's going to be huge. You know, whether you bring a tight end over and chip, or you chip with a running back, or you slide the protection to Max Crosby side, you have to know where he's at all times, especially with a young quarterback. You know, he's got to know where he's at all times, because I wonder if they're going to give Tyson Bajan the ability to change the protection to go towards Max Crosby. And it makes you think, right, with a quarterback that hasn't got a lot of reps, who's a young guy, you know, will he have the mental capacity to be able to do that within the heat of the moment of the game? I think that's going to be an important factor in this game.
There's plenty of negatives to look at, J-Mac, and I feel like we've harped on them all week. By the way, call into the show. We do want to hear from you guys, the fans, as well. 312-332-3776. Phone lines are open. There were some, as crazy as it is to say, positives in this game. Our defense held an offense to 13-point scoring. And I get it, right? No Justin Jefferson. That makes a big difference. But Kirk Cousins is a guy that can make his weapons work with him. And you know what? I saw, now we didn't get a ton of sack numbers in that game, right? But I saw pressure. I saw blitzes that I thought actually were getting a lot closer to the quarterback, which makes me feel better. I saw linebackers that were flying around the football. Yeah. My God, I swear I squinted my eyes for a second and it looked like Briggs and Urlacher. Urlacher was a lot darker though.
Easy. They played well, but they ain't that dynamic duo. Yeah. At the same time, though, they did, man. I mean, I'm a huge fan of TJ Edwards. You know, I was thrilled about that signing here. A guy who's, you know, he's got it through the mud, so to speak. Yeah. Undrafted guy, you know, had to pave his own way in Philly. You know, ended up being, you know, a leader on that defense in Philly that went to a Super Bowl. You bring him here, a guy who has a winning pedigree, a guy that understands what it takes to excel in this league, and you bring him in the locker room, and that's the type of thing that you need. You need culture builders like that within an organization that has been losing a lot lately. You need winners in that locker room, and he's one of those guys. You bring in Tremaine Edmonds, a guy who's had success on that Buffalo defense. You bring him in this locker room and a defense that's had a tradition of being dominant, but he also comes from a team that has a culture of winning. So you got to implement more pieces like that in the locker room, but to see that defense fly around the way they did, I mean, they really flew around. They got after it. They didn't get the amount of sacks that we wanted, but they did generate some takeaways. And they did put our offensive position in a favorable position to put points on the board. And that's where we failed offensively. As everybody knows, we weren't able to take advantage of a lot of the field position that the defense gave us at times. But to see that defense fly around, to see Jaquan Brooks come out there and make some big hits and make big plays, that just shows that he's being able to come back, a guy who's been banged up in and out of the lineup this year, coming back off injury, finally starting to get, you know, in his zone, and to see the things that, you know, the other guys did. Andrew Billings has been a dog in the interior the whole time. So if you have a defense that can play like that, and we can just manufacture something on offense, Pat, like anything, you know what I mean? Anything, you know, it's going to give us a chance. Am I saying, you know, I don't know, moving forward, we got a lot of tough games, but it'll give us a chance. And this past Sunday is a game that, I mean, we should have had, with the performance that the defense had, we should have had that game. And that's what's so upsetting right now.
Well, yeah, and that's what – I think that's the part that – I keep going back to this. And the part that's irritated me most about what we saw in that Vikings game, even after watching the All-22, is it felt like Luke Getsy said, I'm going to take these next 10 days not to prepare for what the Minnesota Vikings are actually going to do, but to prepare – to prove that the system that I wanted to run with Justin Fields the first time is going to work. That's not what I wanted to see. I wanted to see the continued play that you guys were running out there initially, the quick passes, getting the ball out quickly, 2.7 seconds. I talked about this a ton. 2.7 seconds Justin Fields was getting the ball out in those last two games before this Vikings game. This last game, yes, the play where Justin gets hurt is on him. It is. He's holding the football 6 seconds. You have to get rid of the football. There's no excuse there. You know, at 6 seconds, dude, like, you know, all right, I've been in this pocket a little bit long, dog. Like, so I got to do something here. But you also look at the plays when you watch the All-22 and you go, hey, why are we running 15-yard routes down the field when they're doing a 6-man front on the first play of the game? Are there still things that I look at from Justin and I'm like, I need you to fix that? 100%. I mean, he's not absolved of it.
Yeah, you talk about the first play of the game. Like, I don't understand the. One, obviously, it's empty, so it's a five-man protection, five linemen in protection. You got six coming, and you look at the right side of the formation, you've got DJ Moore and Kyrie blasting game. They're running hitches, but it's man coverage, so those are taken away. And then on the left side, those guys, all three of them guys, it's Mooney, Komet, and who else was out there? I forget, but they're all running in-breaking routes. It's all man coverage. It's all man coverage. So you've got five trying to block six. Yeah, Foreman was out there. That's right. Yeah, performing that. So you got five offensive linemen blocking six, but at the same time, you know, he's looking to his right. He's looking at Kyrie and DJ Moore running hitches. That's you know, basically they're in man coverage, so those are taken away. So you have no chance, absolutely no chance. Exactly what happened on that play was supposed to happen.
Yeah, and that's the problem to me, right? Like, I know it seems so simple, but I keep asking the question, why is screens his slant? Like if I got a blitz coming, right, and maybe this is just me, the dumb, you know, podcaster that never played in the NFL, But to me, if I've got a blitz coming, I know for a fact I'm going to have a free rusher. I know for a fact I have to get this ball out quickly. Wouldn't you just run a slant across the middle and try to get that ball out as quickly as possible? Instead, he wants to use the screen passes. He wants to use the hitches. These things take time to develop, time that Justin Fields doesn't have.
Yeah, I mean, the screen is a good answer against a team that really likes to put pressure on the quarterback because you can catch him in vulnerable situations. But a lot of times, like you mentioned in the slant, like, when they're bringing pressure, a lot of times what these coordinators are doing, what they've been doing nowadays, is they'll make sure they have a route that replaces the void left by that blitzer. You know what I'm saying? Right. So those are things that you got to take advantage of. But those are things in which the ball's got to come out quick, and you have to have a quarterback that can be able to, to see that. You got to see that. You got to see where pressure's coming from, and you got to be ready to take advantage of that based upon a route concept call. If you got pressure coming and you're running 10 and 15-yard routes, I mean, his only – hope is to hold the ball, hope for somebody to open. But at that time in the NFL, if you're patting the ball twice, you're getting hit, you're getting sacked as a quarterback.
And again, I don't absolve Justin of what we saw on Sunday. That there's a part of that where the second you see it's not there, you got to take off, use your legs. It's okay, right? And it felt to me, we watched Tampa twice. Like, that felt like the game plan for the Tampa game again. And it's like, hey, when you hit your head against that wall, that hurt. You're going to do that again. Okay, we're doing that twice. We're hitting our head against the wall twice. That's what we're doing. Luke Getsy to me has me so concerned as a play caller, because I saw the last two games and I'm like, okay, he kind of figured it out. We're doing things a little bit different. And then the last game, it felt like a game where your defense, the reason we started talking about this, your defense gave you opportunities, gave you the ability to get short fields. We haven't had the defense do that for us all season.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, right, Pat, like within the game plan, if I'm Justin and there's something in the game plan, protection wise or route concept wise, that I'm not comfortable with or that I don't like, I'm going to say, hey, coach, you know what? I don't really know about this route concept. I don't really know about this protection. You know, it takes too long. You know what I mean? They've got to have that type of communication. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's not like the player is trying to disrespect the coach or anything like that, or, you know, disrespect his ability to put together a game plan. He's got to tell you what he's comfortable with, right? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the coach knows, what the coach thinks is going to work. The player is the guy that has to go out there and execute. He's got to go out and execute. He's the guy that's going to be on the field playing. He's a guy that's feel comfortable within the game plan, so that way he can go out there and perform at a high level. If you're putting together a game plan that he has questions about, that he's not comfortable about, then, you know, you're going to see that. That's what you're going to see that's going to happen. And I'm not saying that's the case. You know, it's just in theory trying to figure this thing out. Like, how does the game plan change, do a complete 360 week in and week out? This just does not make any sense.
Especially when you hear Justin Fields, right, say my favorite thing is he was like, the Vikings aren't going to change their entire identity based on how we played the last couple of weeks. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bears changed their entire identity based on what? You know what I mean? Like, that's, and I like, shout out to the Twitch chat, shout out to the YouTube chat. I'm a podcaster. I'm a look in this chat, and I see people commenting in, and we be laughing at y'all when Greeny be on. I'm not going to lie to y'all. We be cracking up. We're not going to say what y'all be saying, but y'all wild. Y'all are crazy. Devo said, kind of figured it out against a horrendous defense. Correct me if I'm wrong. A lot of times that is when you figure out the things that work for you and when they don't, right? Because it is a little bit easier. Yes, it gets harder when a tough defense is on the other side of you, but offensively, sometimes you'd be like, okay, this is what works for us. We can do this against tougher defenses. This is going to be implemented versus tougher defenses. To me, we saw none of what we implemented outside of the run game. The run game was still really good, but we saw none of what we implemented versus those easier defenses, although the Commanders were an elite defense all until we beat them. You know what I mean? Like, that cracks me up. That makes me laugh every time. But isn't that the time a lot of times when your offense does get right, when they see those defenses that are a little easier to attack, and then on the flip side of that, you say, we can take this and get this into the next game?
Yeah, for sure. And it just upsets you, right? The fact that you had so much extra time to prepare for this
game. 10 days. 10 days.
You had a bye, but at the same time, bye just doesn't mean, okay, forget about football completely. I'm going to go ahead and take all these pats on the back, all this praise from us getting one win one win. You know what I'm saying? Like, you still got work to do. Still a long season. So the fact that, like, it just the unpreparedness in terms of what it looked like Sunday, that's what's so upsetting. And just to go from, like we talked about, to go from one extreme on offense where things was working, things were clicking the last 2 weeks. And, yeah, you played some bad defenses. But at the same time, offense, you were moving ball up and down the field. You were putting points on the board. And then to do a complete 360 and go back to what we saw the first few weeks where you're getting your butts whipped, that's what's so frustrating.
And I think here's the other thing too, right? Like, yes, it's a bad defense, but even bad defenses in the NFL don't just give up 30 every night. You know what I mean? Like, especially versus the offenses that we saw the first 3 weeks. That was a different offense out there. That was not the same offense that we're all until the Vikings game. A defense that, if we're being 100% honest, listen, they're not nearly as bad as Broncos, right? But the concepts outside of blitzing every single play, the players that they have, I look at very similar to the Broncos because it's like you got one dude. You've got one guy on the other side. I love Harrison Smith. He's 107 years old. Harrison Smith was, if I'm not mistaken, I think he really was playing when you were playing. I don't think I'm exaggerating on that, bro. Like,
so what you trying to say about me, man? You said he's 107 years old, man. Come on.
I said what I said. Anyway, no, I'm just playing. No, but I thought that this would be a defense that you could go out there and attack a little bit more. And the fact that they literally, bro, Brian Flores played Madden. He blitzed on 72% of plays.
Yeah.
He was just pressing X on the controller all day in the blitz package. What's the game plan? Blitz. Blitz.
Yeah, if you can't make the adjustments in protection or pick it up and you're struggling against it, well, guess what? He's gonna press that button even more. Hey, yo. That's the game. That's the game. That's the nature.
Luke Getsy was like the dude just losing to him, be like, bro, you just button mashing, bro. You ain't really good at the game. You just button mashing.
It's frustrating too. And it's even more frustrating, right? You would think that in the passing game, you would have had more opportunities because you did so many good things in the run game. If you go back and watch the film, like, the line, they were coming off the ball in the run game. Deontay Foreman was down here. Darrington Evans ran that ball well. We even seen Bayless Jones get a couple big runs in the running game. So you would think that the success you had running the ball would have helped you had success in the passing game, but it's the type of things you're calling. You're calling drop back passes. Instead of play action passes, building it off the run, right? Offensive coordinators, like, you want to layer your plays, right? So if I'm running inside zone, I'm running zone read with Justin a lot and Deontay Foreman, right? Well, I need to set up a pass off of that because now the defense have seen zone read. They've seen that Justin's pulled that ball. He's burnt us on the edge a couple times. He's handed that ball off to Deontay Foreman. He's got some chunk yardage in the run game. Now I want to build my passing game off of that. Build my passing game off of things we had success, you know, in the running game off of. So that's the thing that confuses me. You know, you call the play. You know, Deontay Foreman gets 7 yards on inside zone. The next play you come back, it's a bad snap, but it's a drop back pass. You know what I mean? Now you're behind the chains on third down. Like, that's what's so frustrating because we see that over and over and over and over again. And then you have an offense that's out of whack. And then guess what? It's third long. Guess what Brian Flores is doing? He's grabbing that damn controller, hitting that damn X button.
Blitz. Let's finish it out here, J-Mac. I mean, listen, the good thing about Wednesday and why I love having you on the show on Wednesday is because it's turn the page day. All we can do is look ahead to the next week when you see the Vegas Raiders come in. I don't know if we have a latest update on
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G. Thank you. I was like Josh McDaniels. I don't need an update on him. Jimmy G. I know what Josh McDaniels is at this point. He's out.
Yeah. I hope Josh plays quarterback. They're gonna get the snacks out of Josh McDaniels.
Hey, listen. Brian Hoyer's been playing quarterback just about as long as Josh McDaniels has been since it's been for him. So you know what I mean. But it might be the Brian Hoyer Tyson Bagent show. What are you expecting out of this Vegas game? What's your outlook right now with what Bears team we may see?
I don't know. That's my outlook. You don't know. We don't know what Bears team we're going to see, especially with Tyson Bagent in the game. I think it's going to bring – I mean, it brings excitement because here's a guy who's done a lot of good things. We haven't seen him, obviously, in live action for a long time. We're going to get to see that this game. But The good thing is, hey, they got a quarterback on that side who may be Brian Hoyer, who's super old. Now, he's 170 years old. So I don't know what this game's going to bring, man. It's going to be I have no idea. You know, I have no idea what this game's going to bring. Like I said before, offensively, the mark man you got to mark is Max Crosby. You got to mark him. But, you know, what I did like to see, what I saw from Tyson last game is, you know, he did take some shots to DJ Moore. You know, he certain plays, he force fed DJ Moore, right? And the two things that's going to happen when you force feed DJ Moore, one, he's going to make a great catch, or two, there's going to be pass interference. I'll take both of those. You know what I'm saying? So I think you're going to see, you know, Tyson push the ball downfield. He's a confident guy. He played a lot of football in college. Obviously, he was at Shepherd University, two completely different levels. But yeah, I think he has something. So if we can have a good running game and Getsy can devise a game plan based upon his strengths, which we haven't seen every week, then I think we have a chance. But if that defense plays the way they did last week, you know, Brian Hoyer, they're going to get after him. And you definitely got to get after a guy like Brian Hoyer. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, if we can't get after Brian Hoyer, I'll see y'all at the draft, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you, bro.
Man, you never know with this team. It's up and down. You know what I mean? It's every week is something different.
This should be the week that Yannick makes his season total in sacks. Like, let's be real. Like, this should be right. Like, come on. Like, listen. For one, they absolutely hate Devontae Adams. I don't know what Devontae said to Josh McDaniels, but he said, you are never going to see this football again. They hate Devontae Adams. That makes life a heck of a lot easier because I'm not as worried about Jacoby Myers in the slightest. I don't care how much Jimmy G targets him.
It's crazy to talk. I wonder how many, like, the comparison in targets from Jacoby Myers to Devontae Adams has got to be, like, twice as much as Jacoby. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy.
Just last week alone – Devontae Adams got 5 targets, which is insane. He caught 2 of them for 29 yards. Jacoby Myers got 7 targets.
See what I'm saying? Like, that's unbelievable. Hey, if you guys don't want Devontae Adams, you know, we'll definitely take him over here.
No, J-Mac, no. We need linemen. I like Devontae. We need linemen. Protect my quarterback. Hey,
we'll take anything right now. I don't care, man.
It could be Agent Bajan. It could be Justin Fields. It could be Rex Grossman, Jay Cutler. There's a common theme here. We need to protect these guys. Money-making Mitch, all of them. Maserati Mitch, whatever y'all was calling them for a while. It didn't work out.
Take anything right now. When you're winning 5, you'll take anything.
Oh, God. Hey, listen, appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button before you get up out of here. Subscribe to the page. As always, for Jason McKee, it's your boy, Pat the Designer, back at it again. We'll be back tomorrow breaking things down with Courtney Cronin and a special guest as we get an eye on the enemy as well. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. It's tough. Peace.
Better out.